How was everybody's Thanksgiving? Good? Good? A couple of you had a good one. So let's try it again. You ready? How was everybody's Thanksgiving? There you go. We have a lot to be thankful for, so it should have been great. I was blessed. We had all of our kids in town. We had my parents in town. And we had winter in town. But good. It's good to have everybody here. Just before we jump into the message, just a couple of things. I want to encourage you tonight to 6 o'clock, come to the church. Thanksgiving's over. Hunting season will be over. Football can be put on hold or recorded. It's like, oh no, Pastor. Trust me, I'm a football guy. I am in mourning because my poor Wolverines didn't want to play very hard on Saturday. Got beat by the Ohio Buckeyes. But we can put that on hold to come and praise the Lord and lift his name and to pray. So let's plan on that this evening. Amen? We're going to have the worship team's going to lead us in some praise and worship. We're going to pray, and I'm excited for it. It's I can't think of a better way to start our week than to lifting up the Lord in praise and worship and prayer. Amen? Amen. So let's plan on that today. And so let's get ready. Let's jump in. Before we jump in, one more thing. It just popped in my head. Men, sign up to come to men's retreat. I promise you, you won't regret it. It's going to be a great time. January 9th and 10th, I have a good friend of mine. He was here. His name's Andrew. He's going to come, and he's going to encourage us in what it means to be men on mission. And so I want to encourage you. It's going to be a great time of fellowship. We're going to go. We're going to have great food. It's going to be a beautiful setting. We're going to have uplifting worship and uplifting messages, and we're going to go throw axes at some point. Oh, oh, oh. So we're going to do man things. So I want to encourage you at the Welcome Center, sign up. Be men and sign up. Oh, I'm throwing it down. All right, let's jump into our Christmas series, Born. You ready? If you're ready, say uh-huh. All right, before we jump in, let's pray, because I need prayer. Let's pray. Oh, God, we love you. And we're so grateful for bringing us here today as your church to celebrate you and to worship you and to praise you and to grow in our faith together. And God, I pray for our families that are represented in this room. This is family service, and I lift them up. You know our stories, our joys, our struggles, and the things that we carry quietly. Lord, we invite you into our homes. We invite you into our family. Give us peace where there is stress. Give us healing where there's hurt, and hope where things feel heavy. God, strengthen every parent, guide every child, and draw our families closer to you and to each other. Help our homes to be places of grace and forgiveness and your daily presence. Help us as a church truly love and support one another like family. And Lord, as we open up your word today, prepare our hearts to receive what you have for us. Let it shape us, let it challenge us, and draw us closer to you. Jesus, today we place our homes and our hearts in your hands. Lead us, shape us, and stay at the center of everything that we do and everything that we are. And we pray this in your mighty and strong name, Jesus. And everyone said, amen, amen and amen. Okay, I'm curious to see how many of you will think like me. That's gonna be scary. You don't want to be in this head some days. Let me see how many of you are like me. When you hear the word supreme, what comes to mind? Pizza. Pizza. Boom! Supreme Pizza, you put everything on that and the kitchen sink, right? What else? Somebody else.
Burrito.
Yes. Nachos. You pile them high with everything. So high that they fall off when you try to lift them to your mouth, right? Woo. What else?
Leader.
Okay. Somebody else.
Jesus.
That's the Sunday school answer, but we'll take it. It's the truth. Somebody else. Justice. Supreme Court. Right? The highest court in the land, just not as high as Jesus. That's right. But in every case that we just talked about, it is supreme, right? It is the highest, the ultimate, the nothing above, right? Nothing above, supreme. You guys think like me. This world is in trouble. Now imagine this with me. Imagine this. God Almighty, who spoke everything into existence, the stars, the planets, the universe, the creator of heaven and earth, entered our world by becoming a human in body and being born among us. Isn't that amazing to even think about? He was born not as a king to be set in a palace, but as a baby in a manger in a feeding trough. Think about it. He came to bring us salvation and peace and hope. And he also came to reclaim supremacy, to take his rightful place on the throne of our hearts. That's what born supremacy is all about. Last week we talked about born identity. We're in this series called Born. We talked last week about one of my favorite movie series of all times was Jason Bourne. We're not preaching the sermons, we're just stealing the titles. And it's okay. I asked permission. Born identity was last week. Who we are in Christ. This week we move to born supremacy. Who Christ must be in us. Because the one thing that I do know is about your identity in him is he wants to be Lord of your life, not just Savior. There is a difference if you don't know that today. It's more than just having fire insurance, right? He wants supremacy in our life. And supreme means, in the WebsterDictionary.com, means the greatest in power or authority, paramount, dominant or ultimate, and the final word, the highest position. In other words, there's no competition, there's no rival, there's no comparison. He is supreme in our life. And scripture says in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 24, for the Lord your God is a consuming fire, a jealous God. Now, he's not jealous of us. He's jealous for us. Do you understand the difference? If you understand the difference, say, uh-huh. Jesus was declared. He wants all your heart, your whole heart, not a divided one. And unfortunately, there's many of us that our hearts are extremely divided. We have gotten good, especially in the Church of America, we've gotten really good at compartmentalizing our lives, haven't we? We have our church life, which is Sunday, maybe two Sundays a month. And then we have our family life, and we have our work life, and we have our hobby life, and we have all this stuff. And we say, God, I want you to have all this, but can I just tell you this morning, God doesn't want the but, or he does want the but. He wants it all. That sounds really weird. I know, I just said, you know what I'm saying. He wants it all. Jesus was declared King of Kings and Lord of Lords, not just of heaven, but on earth and in every believer's life. But here's the thing, and I know this as well as anybody, it's really, 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 really easy to let things creep into our life and those things that creep up and they take his place, right? So let me ask you a simple but powerful question. Who or what is supreme in your life? Because make no mistake about it, Jesus came to give in this season and in his, and from the very beginning, he came to give himself. And he wants all of us. That's what he wants, every aspect of our life. And we are called to take on his identity and to allow him to have supremacy. So let's look at four questions this morning that every heart must answer. None of us are exempt from this. If you call yourself a Christ follower, you've got to ask these questions and you need to look in the mirror a little bit. Number one is, what is supreme, God or money? Ooh, Pastor, you're talking about money. Yeah, I know. But you want to know something funny? And I've said this, you've heard me say it many times. God talks more about the power of money than he even talks about heaven and hell in his scripture. In all of scripture, it's over 2,000 times he talks about money. 500 of them in the New Testament alone. Why? Because he knows the power of money in our lives. We all feel the pull of stuff, right? Toys, phones, clothes, cars, hobbies, status, whatever it is, all of it competes for our attention and our hearts. And you've probably heard this phrase before, but I'm going to share it again, just in case you haven't. It's not wrong to have things, as long as those things don't have you. Come on. You're like, Pastor, you're stepping on toes. Good. I make no apology. And that's true at any age. You look at little kids. I mean, I got kids. It's like, what is that show? Finding Nemo. Those stinking little seagulls. Mine, 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 mine. Any kid, mine, mine. Any adult, mine, mine, right? Sound like those obnoxious seagulls in that movie. It's true at any age, in every age. I want to look at an amazing story, an account in Mark chapter 10, verses 17 through 22. It's the story of the rich young ruler. So if you got your Bibles, turn. I think I have them in scripture. I don't know. I was out most of the week celebrating Thanksgiving with my family and hunting and stuff like that. So we're going to have some fun. Here we go. In Mark chapter 10, verse 17 through 22, it says this: as Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. "Good teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments: you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not give false testimony, you shall not defraud, and honor your father and mother." "Teacher," he declared, "all these I have kept since I was a boy." Jesus looked at him, and notice what it says. Jesus looked at him and said what? Loved him. Okay, that's an important thing to grab a hold of. He looked at him and loved him. "One thing you lack," he said, "go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." Verse 22 says that this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. The rich young ruler was respectful. He was moral. And he was sincere. But Jesus looks past all of that into his heart, past the surface, and he sees the one thing holding this man back: his stuff, his stuff. Jesus wasn't after his stuff. Jesus wasn't after his money. Jesus was after his heart. And he wasn't trying to take something away from this guy. He was trying to free something for him, from him, inside of him. And that's exactly how Jesus treats us today. Whether you have a piggy bank, a debit card, a retirement plan, God doesn't want your money. Hear that this morning. There is this, well, I don't even know what to call it, this lie that God is and the church is after your money and that's all we want. I don't care about your money. I don't care about that. God doesn't care about that. He's got more money than you. He's the reason you have money. Let's just be real, right? We're not after your money. God wants your devotion. He wants to be supreme in your life. And Paul, and this is our first Biblehead challenge. If you're a guest with us, I love family service because we get to worship with our kids. But one of the things that they teach, one of the priority things that your children will learn in kids ministry in the basement. It's so funny. We keep them in the dungeon. It's all good. But one of the things, the priority is we want your children to know how to navigate the Word of God, to be able to know the books of the Bible, to be able to navigate in it by the time that they go into the next level. So we do Biblehead Challenge. So Callie and Misha are going to help me. And so our first Biblehead Challenge, where's the kids? You guys ready? We're going to do the first boy and the first girl. And what's the ages again, Callie? Up to sixth grade? Up to sixth grade. So if you're above that, you lose. All right, you guys ready? Here it is. You can still look it up, though, just because you're not sixth grade, okay? You just don't get candy. But I want to encourage you, practice. Adults, practice. Practice. Here it is. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 7 through 10. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 7 and 10. First boy with the Bible head, first girl with the Bible head. 7, 10, and 11. Boom, there's the first boy, Misha, right there. Right there. Boom. Where's the girl? Do we have a girl? Ooh, right back there. Right back there. We got a girl. Sweet. We got it. Any adults get it? Samuel, you're a rock star, pal. Here's a challenge. You ready, adults? Let's see if you can beat the kids. You don't get... Wait, that was just it. Those two. We're going to go two more after that. You're so excited. She's like more excited to give candy away than I am. Here's what it says. Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 7 through 10, we brought nothing into this world, and we can take nothing out. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation, for the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. It's not the root that we so often quote. It's a root of all kinds of evil. Paul gives us a reality check, right? That really hits home for every generation. We brought nothing into this world. And we ain't taking nothing out, right? It's just that you get the guy, that whole quote of man with the most toys wins, that's a lie. We have food, we have clothes, that's already enough to be grateful for. But he warns us, the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Not money itself, right? Money's not evil. It's the love of it. It's the love of it. And I have a pastor friend of mine who jokes and he says, if you think money is evil, bring it to the church. We'll pray over it and put it to work for the kingdom. I love that quote. And I will make the same challenge. Amen. Paul goes on in verses 17 through 19 to say, command those who are rich in this present world to not be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, but to put their hope in God. Command them to do good, be rich in good deeds, generous and willing to share. See, kids, it's good for adults to share too. We teach you to share, but it's ever been, Paul is saying that adults need to learn how to share. Amen? Yeah. Don't put your hope in wealth, because it can disappear like that. Put your hope in God. He never changes. And be generous, willing to share, and be rich in good deeds, Paul is talking about. That's what it looks like to live under God's supremacy. To trust him more than your wallet. Ignore Capital One, what's in your wallet. Jesus should be in your wallet. This is a question of position, right? It's a question of position, which brings us to our next Biblehead challenge. Are you ready? Okay, adults, to see if you can beat the kids. You have to put your Biblehead on. You got to put it on when you get it, okay? If it's your digital Bible, it's okay. It's a little cheating, but count to two first and then do it, okay? All right, here it is. You ready? First boy, first girl. If you've already won, you can't win. Matthew 6:24. Come on, adults. Don't be chicken. See if you can beat the kids. Get ahead of your Biblehead. Boom. Oh, wow, you adults. I'm proud of you. Okay, we got a boy right here. And then I don't know which one of the, Isaiah first. Okay. Come on, Isaiah. And then one of the girls back there. We'll get you, Drew. That's it. Adults, I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you, Oakland. Good job, buddy. Do we get it? All right. This is what it says. No one can serve two masters. You cannot serve both God and money. Jesus is saying something there that's so simple that even a first grader can understand it. Whatever rules your heart will rule your decisions. Listen, if money makes you anxious, if money makes you proud, if money makes you stingy, it might be sitting where God should be sitting. And Jesus continues in verses 25 through 33 with a promise for all ages. Don't worry about what you will eat or drink or wear. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And all these things, everybody say that together, all these things will be given to you. That's a promise that Jesus makes. When Jesus is supreme, we don't have to chase provision because the provider is already in control. Come on, that's good. That's good preaching right there. I'm just saying. When Jesus is supreme, you don't have to chase provision because the provider is already in control. The second question that we got to face in our hearts is this. What is supreme? Nature or nurture? Every day we have to answer a big question. Am I living like who God made me to be? Or am I just copying the world around me? Excuse me. Even kids feel this pressure. Teens feel it. Adults feel it. Seniors feel it. Speaking of which, totally tangent, I love the prayer this morning. Help us with the adults. Old people. That's it. Help us with the old people. Does that mean me? That is awesome. Please help us with the old people. Right? Senior citizens feel it. Us old people feel it. No one is exempt. The Bible says in 1 Peter 1, chapter 1, verse 23, you have been born again through the living and enduring word of God. When you gave your life to Jesus, something supernatural happened. God changed your nature. Turn to your neighbor and say, God changed your nature. God changed He didn't just clean you up. He made you new. And with that new nature came a new heart. The heart of your heavenly Father. And your Father is generous. He gives. He blesses. He pours out love. He doesn't hold back. So let's look at the attributes of a giver. All right? This is so simple. You guys ready? If you're ready, say, uh-huh. People who reflect God's heart put others first, bless others, help others, care for others, and live generously. A 5-year-old can understand that. An 85-year-old can understand and embody that, right? The daily battle, new nature versus old nature. But here's where all of us feel this tension, right? Whether we're young or old, we all feel this. The new nature is what Jesus put in you. The old nature is what the world taught you. And there's a tug of war that shows up in everyday life with this. You see someone struggling in the parking lot, the new nature is I go and help. The old nature is, that's not my business. I'm going to stay out of it. Your spouse, your parent, or your friend is overwhelmed. The new nature is you stand up and you hold your shield of faith and you jump in and help them. The old nature is someone else can do that. The church needs volunteers. The new nature is I'm here to serve. Old nature, or the old nurture is I'm busy, someone else can do it. It's not convenient for me. Sound familiar? We all feel the fight inside. We all feel it. And when nurture wins, we begin to say things like, I can't afford it. But generosity isn't about the amount, it's about the heart. Or we say things in our mind or even out loud, it says, I don't have time. We average 4 days a year in church. We average 25 days a year watching TV. Come on, this is, Number 3 thing that we hear ourselves say is, I'm not qualified. Can I just tell you, that's shame talking. If God can use me, of all people, he can use y'all. That's just where it's at. You can take that one to the bank. God calls people long before they feel qualified. Number 4 thing that we begin to hear ourselves say is, I'm not called. Ooh, somebody said that to me the other day. Jesus, take the wheel. If there are lost people on this planet, you are called. Let me say that again. Guys, look at me. As long as there's lost people on this planet, you all are called. There is no exemption. There is none. You're called. Just it. If you don't like it, take it up with God. Don't shoot the messenger. You're called. And this is all a question of allegiance, right? At the end of the day, this isn't about guilt or behavior. It's about allegiance. Who we belong to and who we follow. Will we live out our reborn identity? Our default, or default back into our old condition, that nurture. Jesus is calling us, church, to live from his spirit, not the world of habits. And when we do, we look like our Father, generous, loving, and joyful, and free. And the third question that we must face and answer ourselves is, what is supreme, success or fulfillment? These two can look similar, but feel completely different. You can be successful. Listen, you can be successful by the world's standards, job, house, reputation, money, retirement, all those things, but still feel empty inside. You talk to those that are multimillionaires and billionaires, and how many people, especially in the rock and roll and the movie film, Hollywood stuff, how empty they feel, and how many of them commit suicide because of that. It is not. You can be successful and still feel empty and still feel unfulfilled in life. True fulfillment only comes from doing what God has called you to do. I once heard about a man who had built a company from the ground up. And on paper, he was the picture of success. A massive office, a corner suite with floor-to-ceiling windows, a fancy car in the parking lot, and recognition in every business magazine there is. And everyone around him said, "You've made it. You're a success. You're the picture of success." But late at night, sitting alone in that corner office, God whispered, his whisper came to him, and he asked, "Are you fulfilling my purpose or just chasing your own success?" And this man realized that while he had achieved everything the world measured as success, his life wasn't producing the fruit God had intended. And family, that is the challenge that we all face. It's all of us, right? Success without God's purpose can leave us wealthy in things, but poor in destiny. And this is a question of faithfulness, right? Of faithfulness. The reason that we have the things, the reason that we have success, ultimately is because God has blessed us. There is no other answer. You can say that you're all that in a bag of chips and have all the t-shirts. I say, the reason that we have success is because God has gifted you and given you talents and abilities and things that you have exploited for personal, selfish means that were never designed for that. They were designed for the kingdom of God, and you used them for selfish purposes. But without those gifts, without those talents, without their mind that God gave you, you wouldn't have that. So it's a question of faithfulness. And Proverbs chapter 28, verse 20 says, "A faithful person will abound with blessings, but one eager to get rich will not go unpunished." And Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 says, "Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us." I love that passage of scripture because what it says is that each and every one of us, God has marked out a race for you, a plan for you, a purpose for you, uniquely designed for you. It's your job to figure out what that is. And how we do that is by making God supreme and say, "Okay, God, what's my race? What's my race?" It's not about speed, and it's not about size. It's not anything about that. It's about faithfulness, right? Faithfulness. God is faithful to us. But how faithful are we to him? And the fourth question that we must answer is, what is supreme? Since we're getting into the Christmas season, is it giving? Or getting? Is it getting or giving? The worship team, I'm going to have you come up. And as they come up, this last question cuts some of us to the heart of really discipleship, right? And our last Bible head challenge. How many do we have? Just okay, four. Yeah, let's do the last boy and last girl, and let's do two adults, male and female. Oh, look, we're feeling generous. We're going to give you adults some sugar. So you ready? First boy, first girl. If you haven't won, you can be part. And the first male adult and the first female adult. So I'll watch for the male and the female adults. You can watch the kids. You guys ready? Here it is. Acts chapter 20, verse 35. Acts chapter 20, verse 35. Come on, adults. Boom, we got first male there. He beat you out, Jonathan. And the first female right here. And then kids, we had a boy right here, Ryan. And then young lady right there, Sarah. And then Ryan there. Boom, you guys did good. Give yourselves a round of applause. I'm proud of you. Acts chapter 20, verse 35 says, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." Receive. So what drives you? Do you live to give or do you live to get? In God's kingdom, true success is measured by what we give, not what we get. Matthew 16, 25 says, whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. Luke chapter 9, verse 23, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross daily and follow me. John 15, 13, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. And Proverbs 11, 24 and 25 says, one person gives freely yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly but comes to poverty. A generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. Let me wrap up this morning with this illustration. Years ago, a pastor used a simple illustration that really, really stuck with me. And his name was Pastor Ed Kreiner. So my pastor as a young adult in Meridian, Idaho, and he said, every heart has a throne and a cross. Someone sits on the throne and someone hangs on the cross. When self is on the throne, Jesus is on the cross. But when Jesus sits on the throne, self is on the cross. Family, that is the essence of born supremacy. We were never meant to rule our own hearts. He was. And when we surrender, everything else falls in order. And we've got to get that in our minds. And I struggle with this at times. So often that when he is on the throne of my heart, everything else falls into place. But when we try to manage our own life and rule our own life, that's when it all gets messed up and it's out of order. It's because it's not how it was designed to be. Everything falls into order when we surrender. So this morning, what I want to do is, Carrie's going to just play softly, is I want us to take a moment, just a couple moments, to bow our hearts before God and invite Jesus to take his rightful place in our hearts. Amen. Let's just bow our hearts. And I'm going to say just a quick prayer. And just, I hope it's your prayer as well. Lord, speak to us in this moment. Speak to our hearts. Remove every distraction. Help us, God, to seek your kingdom first. God, take your rightful place on the throne of our hearts. Be supreme in us, in our homes, at our work, at our priorities, and ultimately our worship. Church family, he is not just our Savior. He is supreme. Stand with me. I'm going to say a closing prayer, and then we're going to close in a song. Oh, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. No other name above your name. Today, we surrender the throne of our hearts to you. We lay our pride, our plans, our fears, and our need for control. We lay them at your feet. crucify anything in us that competes with your lordship. Fill us with your spirit that we may walk in obedience, humility, and joy. Restore what's broken. Reorder what's out of place. And renew our desire to follow you wholeheartedly. Not divided, but wholeheartedly. Be enthroned in us, not just in this moment, but in every moment to come. You alone are worthy. You alone are Lord. And you alone are supreme. That is our prayer this morning, God. That is our prayer. And we pray this in your mighty and majestic and supreme name, the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords, your Son Jesus. And everyone said, amen and amen. Let's sing.